Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 24th day of July 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Stewart Peterson. She's right here in Champaign County. We'll hear from Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley about the Farm Bill and his hopes for it to pass this summer. Still, maybe, if the Republicans can get things together. He's hopeful his colleagues in the House can make things happen with the SNAP, or food and nutrition program, that is usually part of the Farm Bill. And then a bit later in the program, Drew Lerner will be here from World Weather Incorporated. He has a magnificent weather forecast, not only for the Corn Belt, for much of the nation. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stewart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stewart-peterson.com.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. September soft red winter wheat down a half cent at 653 and a quarter. December at 664, down a penny and a half. September corn finished 14 and a quarter cents lower at 508 and a quarter. December at $4.80 and a quarter, down 5 and a quarter. And the March at 492 and three quarters, down 5 and a quarter. May futures at $5.75, down 5 and a quarter. And July contract in the corn down a nickel at $5.07. Next year's December at $5.11 and a half. 4 and a quarter lower. August soybean futures, 13.92 and a half, down 70. September, 13.01 and three quarters, 22 and a quarter lower. And November beans at 12.56 and three quarters, 3.5 cents lower. January futures down 4 cents at 12.61 in the March, 12.59 and three quarters, down 4 and a half. And next year's July at 12.57 and a half, 5 and a half cents lower. November of 2014 at 12.25 and a half, up 2 3/4 cents today. Bean meal futures at finished the September at 4.17.70. They were down $19.90. Bean oil in the August at 44.26. The settlement price down 52. Live cattle futures for the day finished up the August at 121.57 and a half, 32 and a half cents lower. October 125.67 and a half, down 22 and a half, and August futures 57 and a half cents lower at $153.02. September there at 156.37 and a half, we're down 25, and lean hogs down 25 as well at $98.92. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are trading at $105.27 a barrel, down $1.96. The wholesale price of gasoline, or RBOB, at $3.04, that's down 0.4 cents. And ethanol futures at $2.33 and 2 cents, down 4 7/10 cents. The spread between the two is widening out, 72 2/10 cents. Now natural gas at $3.70 and 3 cents, down 4 cents. And diesel fuel, or the ultra-low sulfur diesel in New York, at $3.04 and 6 cents, down 2 3/10. Gold futures finished up at $1,319.70 an ounce, down $15. And the dollar at 82.3 is down, or rather up, 0.34 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies and a high of 76, and north-northeast wind at 11 miles an hour. It is a beautiful day. And then tonight, we'll look forward to mostly clear skies and a low of 55. Thursday, sunny skies and 78 on a northeast wind at 3 to 5. Thursday night, clear and a low of 60. Calm winds. And they'll turn to the southeast. And Friday, partly sunny and a high near 80 degrees. Calm winds out of the southeast, well, rather all the way from the southwest by then, at 5 to 8 miles an hour. And then on Friday night, a 40% chance of showers. A few thunderstorms. Those will come after 8 in the evening Friday. Mostly cloudy and a low of 62. Saturday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 in the morning Central Time. Partly sunny and a high near 76 degrees. On Saturday evening, mostly clear and 56. Sunny on Sunday with a high of 77 degrees. Partly cloudy Sunday evening and 59. Monday to start the work week, mostly sunny and 79 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour when we talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You are listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report, Wednesday afternoon, the 24th day of July. On the phone line with us is Jackie Vikes. She's with Stuart Peterson in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. How are you today?
Well, I'm certainly better than the markets were. I can tell you that.
The markets were ugly, and soybeans really tanked over the last couple of days. Most are blaming it on a break in the basis, and I suspect you've been watching that basis to see how big that break is and historically whether it's in line with anything or if it really is a precedent setter.
Well, you know, there are some people saying it's the largest in history in the last, in the last 2 days. And so, you know, that's a question. I couldn't confirm it before we were going to do the show, but I can believe it. You know, when you have a basis that's as strong as what we've seen, it's not a big surprise. It again goes to what we talked about this morning, how quickly it can go away, you know, compared to how long it takes it to get it to where we want it to be. It really comes down to why did it break the way it did? You know, have farmers really been selling the way that that we're hearing they've been selling? And I know this morning I told you I haven't been able to find anybody who I knew that was sitting on beans that's actually sold. But we'll have to see. I think it's related to, the Gulf basis, of course, has gotten softer, too. And today wasn't helped at all on the bean side by the China PMI weaker numbers. Even though Beijing came out and said, you know, we're not going to grow any less than at 7% rate, that I guess didn't satisfy traders. We saw palm oil at 7-month lows, really just pummeled bean oil and meal, which was up limit on Monday, was down limit today, and so it's just been a real tough day on the bean side of things. Oil World came out, said they expect to see a drop in third quarter exports. All of that adds fuel to the fire, and then you have the black box trading.
Right.
And black boxes don't have emotion.
They don't have any emotion. They trade on charts when they get to certain points, up and down both, I suppose.
Right.
And then they trade on, you know, has there been some unwinding of some spreads, some rolling? What kinds of things have been happening as we head for some pre-positioning? I guess option expiration is going to happen again soon.
All right. I do believe that we certainly did see spread unwinding today. There's no question about that. I don't think we would have seen the strength in November beans or in December corn that we did had it not been for the spread unwinding. You're seeing a lot of positioning ahead of option expiration for August, which takes place on Friday. And, you know, that will be for August beans. It will also be for August cereal options that trade in the corn pit as well as in the wheat pit. And so, you know, it's a matter of craziness. We have the end of the month coming, which means first notice day will be coming too, a week from today. And you know, it's one of those things when you end up going into first notice day on any of the grain commodities, you no longer have limits in there. So I think this today was more of an opportunity. We saw August beans come off of limit, go back, really come back strong. And then it just looked like the black box is set right back in and send it back down. And there wasn't any selling pool on the close. In fact, we were not even limit down on the close. We were 69.5 down, but we did settle at limit. So I'm sure everybody watching close tonight to see once what this begins to do overnight.
So we didn't lock limit down at the close, but they settled it there? That's kind of odd.
Yeah.
That seems odd
yeah.
to me. That just
seems... Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those situations. It's just, you know, bid and ask determine the settlement, and they take this average. And things have changed over the years in the way that, because of the electronics, in the way that they determine it. And so, well, obviously, that's what it came out to be.
Well, you said there wasn't a pool, so that's the reason I thought it was odd. I thought if there's nothing waiting there and there's not a pool, I was surprised if that was the case. There could be things that are back in the back waiting.
That's
and
exactly
I suppose
right.
they could, I suppose in the electronic, what do they call that, the depth of the... The marketplace,
yeah.
So
yeah.
there could be things
yeah.
there that weren't being met, and so they pushed it down to a 70-cent limit. That'll widen things
yeah.
out tomorrow, then, by another 35 cents, so we'll have, what, a $1.05 trade in the August? contract. That's right.
No, we didn't do it in two contract months.
Oh, that's right.
So it has to be in more than one contract month. So there won't be any change on limit on that tomorrow at all.
Oh, so we'll still be at 70.
You know, and November beans didn't do poorly either. I think it's being supported by that acreage resurvey that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the 12th of August. And the other Debbie Downer that we've got going on here is that today we saw the Brazilian real get softer again, which just means that. Because the Brazilians get paid in local currency based on U.S. dollars, when the real gets softer, they actually get paid more local currency. And so what we thought would be a discouraging fact in terms of expansion for bean and corn acres down there is turning out not to be so. And so that, I think, is way in the background, but it is definitely sitting there.
Hey, I've been noticing in the ag blogs and on websites and such that Iowa producers are saying, hey, wait a second, we don't look really good. In fact, we look not so great at all, or at least that's what we think. And they're a little discouraged by what's been happening in Chicago, especially for corn, I suppose. But for both the corn and the soybeans, have you talked to enough of them to know what their conditions really are like on the ground there?
Oh, I can tell you what their conditions are. They are so bullish they can't see through their eyes right now. And it's because they're looking at their situation and how hard wouldn't it be for any of us to do that when you have such an awful situation that you didn't get the plant or you haven't gotten the rain other people have gotten, and it's very hard not to be that way. This is one of the things you and I have talked about before. We will no doubt have a smaller crop. We'll have probably fewer acres. We'll probably have a lower yield than where we're at. But the reality is we can lob 500 million bushels off of this and still have a tremendously big carryout. And until, you know, the thing that complicates things, Todd, is because now the FSA requirements for reporting have been pushed off to August.
Right.
We have a hard enough time getting them all formulated and everything so that we have all the information by October the way it is. And so it'll probably be October before we know corn acreage or somewhere close to corn acreage.
That would be that would be normally when the adjustment would be made, right? It's not made in September normally, right? So
yep,
it's October,
that's exactly
right?
Correct. And so, you know, but we could see yield adjustment in between, you know, now and then. But there's just so much information out there that we're not going to have a good handle on. And so, like anything else, it's easier for the market to go down than it is to go up. Especially a seasonal time of year like this where the next 2 weeks of pollination look to be almost ideal, if maybe a little on the cool side, but pretty much ideal.
Hey,
so it's just not a good situation.
Can we switch crops just a bit? Because there is a wheat tour going on, and I think they're finding some pretty good wheat out west, or maybe it's in the northwest or the northern part of the Midwest. What did you hear from that?
Right. Yeah, well, when you look at, you know, it's the hard red spring wheat tour that's going on right now, you know, and they're up in North Dakota, and in the northern part of South Dakota yesterday, and was pretty shocking because it came in at 43.3 for an estimated yield versus 42.9 last year and a five-year average of 41.9. So that again says to traders, wow, we heard nothing was good up there, and take a look at what this is doing right now. And so I think that's something else that they're struggling with. In the bigger picture, I think that you look at wheat, it's going to be supported. There's been talk out there that the China, Egypt, and Iran imports are maybe estimated to be 5 million metric tons less than what the expectation is right now. So we could see more imports from them, and that could be very supportive. Right at the moment, I think wheat's been taking its cues from corn, just like we normally see, and corn takes its cues from wheat at times. And so I was surprised. Let's just put it that way. I didn't expect that. Now, when you talk to guys about hard red winter wheat, now, that might be a whole different story,
mm-hmm.
because it has not been very nice when you get out in the West, and it's been pretty tough even with the irrigated. You hear things like 50, 60 bushel on irrigated, where at times we hear 80 to 100 bushel on irrigated, and dry land wheat that's, you know, 7, 10, 15, just not great. But, you know, that's kind of in the background at the moment. They're not so concerned about that, and I think it's primarily because we're tasseling corn, you know, and so what's our next big hurdle? Kernel fill, right?
Right.
There are very few hurdles to go over anymore, and therefore, you know, the danger to losing a lot more of the crop is not as big to them. So, you know, the next big thing will probably be a frost scare. That's and personally, I think a frost scared of beans is going to be more serious than a frost scared of corn. And this is one year that I truly believe that we could see something like that, or we could see a danger of that to the bean crop. But, you know, the other thing that's dogging corn at the moment is the crush in Brazil. The cane crush is up 31.2% over last year. That's huge, and that's their ethanol production just in July alone was up 10.4% over a year ago. It backs up the idea that we will probably see less corn for ethanol production from an export standpoint to Brazil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those extra 250 million bushels that the USDA has built in there right now for exports for this next year, or usage for ethanol for next year, are going to come under more question as long as sugar prices continue to remain somewhat weak.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great one.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much. That's Jackie Vex. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear her again, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
In today's agricultural news, Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow told reporters yesterday she's waiting for the House leadership to respond to the receipt of the Senate Farm Bill call for a conference and appoint conferees. Her hope is that conferees will be appointed before the August recess. Last week, after receiving the farm program-only farm bill from the House, the Senate substituted its bill and sent it back to the House. Stabenow said the House needs to formally object to the Senate bill and appoint conferees to work out the differences. While Stabenow said the Agriculture Committee leaders of both chambers have met, she pointed out there's a limit to what they can do before a formal conference is called and conferees are named. We'll stay in D.C., where a House Energy Subcommittee met Tuesday to get stakeholder perspectives on the renewable fuel standard. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen, Growth Energy CEO Tom Baez, and National Biodiesel Board CEO Joe Job were among those testifying before the Energy and Power Subcommittee. Baez outlined his support for the RFS and the renewable fuel industry, calling it a resounding success that has created American jobs, revitalized rural America, and injected much-needed competition into a monopolized liquid fuels market. He noted the industry, thanks to the RFS, has lowered prices at the pump, improved the environment, and made the nation more energy independent. Baez urged the committee to stay true to the RFS, a policy that he says is working and showing results. He says now is not the time to disrupt the success and interfere with the progress of the American biofuels industry. We'll go now from national to international issues. The Colombian feed industry produces some 6 million tons of product per year, which utilizes a huge amount of soybeans and meal. Soya Animal Nutrition produces 20% of that product, and the vice president of logistics for the company says because of a free trade agreement with the United States and other logistical issues, he believes they will be buying more beans from the United States.
We hope in the future we will get more grains from the States, because right now the logistics in Argentina is very difficult because they have a lot of strikes. Also, for one ship from New Orleans to Santa Marta, Barranquilla, or Cartagena in the Atlantic coast, it takes only 5 days. It takes 18 days from Argentina to Colombia. So for us, it's an advantage to buy something in the state.
Vice president of the company also says the FTA is forcing more vertical integration of the feed and livestock industry.
The companies here are not too big, like I will say for American standards. There is not big broiler companies like in the States, but I will say they are getting bigger. The big one is buying the small ones, and they are getting bigger, and in the future probably we will have only 5 or 6 left, but now there is a lot of them.
He says there are also more feed companies that are getting into farming and investing in new development areas in central and eastern Colombia. The company spokesman made his comments to U.S. soybean farmers in Colombia on the USB See for Yourself tour. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, let's check the cash grain market with Stephen Lindberg. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility located in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
How are we doing, Todd?
I'm doing well, probably better than your farmer clients are over the last 2 days, I would suspect.
Depends on, but yeah, for the most part, yes.
Yeah, it depends on which side of the market they're
that's
on.
That's right.
Again, there's always a winner when there's a loser.
That's exactly right.
But if you're in the cash market and you're a farmer, usually if the market is going down, you are a loser. And I suppose many are wondering if from the soybean side, and I know you're mostly in the corn there.
Sure.
Are you seeing that producers were scared, at least on old crop, into making some sales, or are they just going to hang on to what's left?
I think right now, with being where the trade closed at today, I think it's a scenario of going to hold this one out. They've held on to it this long. Going to certainly hold on to it a little longer, see if there can be some corrective action in the trade to pull out of this slump that we're currently trading at. So that seems to be our assessment at this point in time.
Your assessment is they will hold on. How about your assessment of the market? Will they hold on for a lower price?
I certainly don't think we can. Though the numbers that the market chooses to trade on have a tendency to differ from the numbers that we look at, considering things such as crop progress report, we expected the market to put some value back in the trade, and it obviously did the opposite. So we're looking at to see some corrective trade to pull through, and when we consider the what's left there for ending stocks for old beans, a person has to have a little bit of a bullish mentality at this point.
Let's turn your attention back to the corn market
okay.
and ethanol. Do you watch the RIN market very much, because it's been really strong as of late?
We personally, as grain buyers, do not, but we have individuals there that definitely keep a close eye on that, yes.
Okay, and then are you able to source corn at this time to keep your plant running?
The last 2 days was very good with a strength in basis. Picked up a good inventory here at Climbers to where we've now seen a fade in basis. So very comfortable with what was originated here the last 48 to 72 hours.
Man, what do your bids look like for the day?
Right now we are now focusing our corn nearby bid versus the December futures at $2 over the December, which is now 680 and a quarter cash. And that's good all the way through the end of August delivery. And that's how our corn market looks.
And then do you have a September and October month for delivery, too?
Yeah, right now we'd be 530 cash for first half Sep, 505 cash for last half, and for October we're looking at 470 and a quarter.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Stephen Lindeberg is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. He's located at their Logansport facility there in Indiana. Back in just a couple minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Creamy Pralines Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1788, Thomas Blanchard was born. An American inventor, he created a machine for mass-producing tacks. And at age 13, he developed an apple-paring machine. In 1817, the first coffee was planted in Hawaii on the Kona coast. In 1839, Gustavus Franklin Swift was born. Swift was founder of the meat packing business Swift & Company, the inventor of the refrigerated railway car, and the first to ship dressed beef to eastern markets instead of live animals. Swift also pioneered products including glue, soap, and margarine out of cattle parts previously discarded. Swift & Company was worth $25 million at the time of his death in 1903. And in 2003, Richard Plough died, an American ecologist. He was the founding president of the Nature Conservancy, and he helped found the World Wildlife Fund. In 1945, he was one of the first to warn about the dangers of DDT-deficient birds. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for WILL comes from Bates Commodities, AgriGold, The Andersons, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, Strategic Farm Marketing, and Farm Credit Services. Thanks to these businesses for their support of WILL agricultural programs.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner on the phone line now to look at the weather forecast. Drew, it's a gorgeous day here, and I think you're going to tell me that I've got a couple of really good days coming up, but maybe rainfall would be good in parts of the Corn Belt as well. What do you see?
Well, I think we're going to please everybody at least a little bit over this next full week. We are going to have two more nice days coming up here the rest of this afternoon and most of tomorrow. There will be a band of rain that will develop tomorrow. Actually, back in, of course, Iowa is one of those states that is in quite a desperate need for rain, at least some parts of the state, and that's going to be an important event. Now, the rain over there is only going to run a few hundredths of an inch up to five-tenths of an inch, maybe an isolated three-quarter-inch amount, but they'll take whatever they can get. The neat thing about the situation that's evolving for them is the temperatures will be cool after the rain comes along, and so they will have slower evaporation rates. We will experience the same kind of thing across the majority of the heart of the Midwest. Illinois, parts of eastern Missouri, all the way over to Ohio, will all have an opportunity to get involved with some of this same frontal boundary precipitation as it comes across. It'll be in Illinois on Friday and over into Ohio Friday night into early Saturday morning. And we'll likely see moisture totals running a few hundredths of an inch up to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch most often. Again, it's not a big soaker. But with pollination underway and the cooler temperatures that come in behind it, it's still going to be a helpful event for reproduction. Now, we'll see a little bit of a warm-up take place as we move forward into the latter part of the weekend and into the early part of next week. And at that time, we'll see the temperatures gradually work their way back up to a more normal range. And we'll see a few more showers and thunderstorms, but not necessarily a big soaking for the heart of the region.
Your broad assessment of the growing season so far for the Corn Belt?
I think it's actually been a very good season so far. Now, we've got some pretty significant stress going on right now in parts of the West, and we are on that line now where we're losing a little yield potential. It has to rain here in the next week in order to maintain the current yield potentials. If we get it, I think we'll still be looking at a very large crop. If we get what I think we're going to get, which is going to be erratic rainfall in those areas, that there's going to be some partial recovery, but there will be some losses out there. But for the east of the Mississippi or east of central Illinois, the situation looks ideal, and it's going to be a good year overall, even if we do get pulled down a little bit on the national yields by what's happening in the west.
Are there other growing regions around the planet that you're concerned about at this time?
Really, there's not a lot. We've got some dryness going on in Europe right now. Europe's going to see a little bit of a recovery, too, as we go into next week with an increase in showers and thunderstorms. It was dry in parts of Australia a couple of weeks ago or a few weeks ago, but we've seen some improvement there, and the crops are now poised for a good start to their spring season in a few weeks. It's still a little dry in western Argentina's wheat country. It's also dry in South Africa's wheat country, but collectively I don't think that's going to have a huge impact on the wheat market because neither one really produces that much wheat anymore. Outside of that, corn and soybean country overseas, it looks like China is running very wet in the northeast and some east-central parts of the country there. They definitely need to see some drier weather to really induce the best yields. They aren't hurting that bad, though. Don't get me wrong there. I think the biggest problem in China is their spring wheat crop, which is probably too wet and probably losing some yield and definitely quality.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon. Remember, you can always visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a good day.